Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to our Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast for Saturday, December the 6th, and Sunday, December the 7th. We come to the final month now of the year, and I certainly appreciate you for tuning us in. Many of you listen to us on the 30-minute radio broadcast each week, and some of you get it on Saturday, some of you get it on Sunday. And I'm certainly grateful and thankful for those of you who get these broadcasts, and I hope that they will be a real blessing to you. Friend, I'd love to hear from you this week and know where you're listening to us from. Please include the call letters of the station when you write, if you know what they are, or maybe you're listening over the internet. You could write us, the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina 27017. I'm excited about this month, and I'm excited about next year of 2026 as we look forward to see what God will do with us and for us and through us in the coming days. Amen. I'm excited. You know, we're living in terrible days, but I want to say that God has put us here for such a time as this, and this is our day. This is our time to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to also invite you to download the GBI radio app, and on that app you'll have our two radio stations that we operate. Well, we have three, but two of them simulcast. So you'll have that, and you'll also have our PTG radio station that you can get. That's on the internet, and that's all preaching all the time on the internet. So download that app, and also my daily programs is there. I'm not sure about the weekly programs. They may be there also. I appreciate my wife, Miss Christy, for taking care of the app, and we praise the Lord for it. It's in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, GBI Radio. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the radio time today. I pray now you'll use it, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're going to start another message today. We're into the life of David here on the 30-minute broadcast, and we're going to start our 30th message. I look back, we started this on February the 9th, going through the life of David. I don't know how long we'll do this, for a while, I guess, but we'll do it. I've got 76 sermons recorded on the life of David. We may stay in this a while longer and switch to something else. I don't know. People seem to be enjoying it, so I appreciate that. But message number 30, David behaved himself wisely. That's our message for this week. David behaved himself wisely. So let's go to the message at this time and hope it'll be a real blessing as you listen. Now we come to message number 30 in this study on the life of David. We're looking today at 1 Samuel chapter number 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 5. I prayed about this in this study of the life of David, whether we should just spend time on one verse or whether we should go forward. And I felt definitely led of the Lord just to stay with this one verse today in this message. Verse number 5 says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." Now, our Heavenly Father, as we come to this message today, I pray that you will use it for your glory, and thank you. People say that they're getting help from this, and I hope they are. And help us in this hour to say what we need to, and nothing we shouldn't, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we come to this fifth verse, and we see, of course, that David has just killed Goliath, and Saul has tucked him home to the palace and won't let him go home anymore. Jonathan has just made a covenant with him. We saw that in the last message. And I believe we could title this message today, "David Behaved Himself Wisely." There's some great instruction in this verse about what David did. Now remember, David was anointed to be king in chapter 16. This is a little ways back. And now, through the providence of God, through the steps of God, David is now in the palace, all right? But as he's there, some things begin to happen. And we see, first of all, we noticed verse number 5, the first part of it. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Now, David had just won the great victory. David was courageous more than any man in the Israeli army. And David could have got filled with pride here, but he did not. Now, let me say, no matter how big the victory is, and no matter how big you think you are, there's always somebody over you. Now, I find that in this day and hour, and what I'm doing with this life of David is I'm using these verses and then just giving you some practical instruction in life. And so, yes, we're talking about the life of David, but we're also bringing out the practical about it. And so the Bible said that David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Now, David could have said, hey, wait a minute, King. You know, I'm the man who killed Goliath. Don't you know who I am? Several years ago, I was pastoring a church and in a certain city, I won't say where, and I pastored to different places, but our ladies of the church went out, and I don't know why the ladies always got the tough cases, but they did. In that church, the ladies always dealt with the people that were the toughest. And so my group of ladies knocked on the door one night, and this man came to them, prominent pastor in that town, and this is his words: don't you know who I am? In other words, why are you at my door inviting me to come to the Lord? Don't you know who I am? Now, if that man's heart would have been right with God, he would have said, ladies, praise the Lord for what you're doing. Boy, I'm glad that you're out here inviting people to Jesus Christ. But that wasn't his idea. His idea was, don't you know who I am? Let me say this, you won't go to heaven because you're a pastor. I want you to understand that. You don't go to heaven because you're a preacher. I want you to understand that. Amen. Oh, but I preached for 40 years. You know there'll be preachers in hell? Did you know that? They sure will. Amen. You go to heaven because you're saved. Amen. You don't go to heaven because you teach Sunday school. You don't go to heaven because you taught the kids class or because you bake pumpkin pies for the community get-together. You go to heaven because you're saved by the good grace of God. Amen. That's how you go to heaven. And so, David here went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Now, that implies that maybe Saul would send David some places that would be undesirable, all right? Now, let's turn that around just for a minute and talk about the Lord's work. Do we as God's men go where God sends us? I'm not talking about where our buddies send us or where the politics of preaching takes us, but I'm talking about, do we go where God says to go? You know, in this day and time, if you're politically corrected, you can get a way made for you, okay? I know some don't like me to say that, but it's the truth. But let me say this to you. You rely on God and go at the end of the journey, when I'm gone, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4 was Paul's last chapter. And in that chapter, you see that Paul died well. I think of my great friend, Dr. Stennett Ballou, who taught me about dying well. And at the end of the journey, when Ricky Cawthorn comes to lay her down, and I preach my last message, and I've sung my last song, and I've recorded my last radio broadcast, I'd like for it to be said about me that I went where God sent me. Now, there's been things happen to me, and men have meant it for my harm. But God's turned it out to my good and set a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When you're in the will of God, there can't nobody hurt you. There can't nobody stop what you're doing. You know that? You ever heard this? Well, I'll ruin that guy. I'll fix it where he won't preach anywhere. Well, you don't have that power, sir. If that man's in God's will and that man's full of the Holy Ghost, you better leave your hands off that man. Amen. I don't touch men of God. I don't go around saying, well, if he's a preacher, the wood's full of them. I don't say that because I'm afraid to do that. Amen. But let me say this to you, that David went where Saul sent him. Now, David was under authority. You know, we have a problem in America today about authority, don't we? Amen. Children in the schoolroom, they have problems being under authority. Why is that? Well, there's no authority showed them at home, you see. Although David had already been anointed king, David was still under the authority, you see. We have people in the church today, and they don't want to follow God's plan for authority. The pastor and the leaders of that church have the authority. We have people in the Sunday school. They don't want to be under authority. Well, I'll teach what I want to. I'll do what I want to do. We have people on the job that are not in authority, but they want to be on in authority. You ever heard this? There's too many bosses around here. You ever heard that? Let me say this. In the home, there's certain authority in the home. It is time for you men to take some leadership in the home. That's not coming home with a bullwhip and beating the walls and demanding respect. It's not that at all. If you love your wife and you love your children and you do what's right, they will respect you, you see. And by the way, ladies, there's a certain amount of submission. The Bible said, wives, submit yourselves unto your what? Your own husbands. Now, the Bible was clear to put that in there. You see, because a lady sometimes gets submitted to her boss where she works, or sometimes to her preacher. You see, you're not to be more submitted to your pastor than you are your husband, lady. Amen. That's right. I'm preaching Bible now. And somebody said, I wish Catherine had preached the word. I am. And you see, you got to be submitted to your own husband. Now, but there's got to be authority. There's got to be authority in the nation. You got people now, they hating the government, you know. Well, and by the way, our government's not the best in the world. It's got problems. But I'll tell you one thing, it's still better to live in America. You're living better right now in America than you would some third world country. Amen. Now, I'm not sure if America ain't headed to be a third world country, but right now you're doing. And so we're to be under authority. Amen. Let me show you what the Bible said about authority. I just want to show you from it. David went so whithersoever Saul sent him. How about that? He went out. In other words, if Saul sent him out to kill somebody, he went and killed him, the enemy. If Saul sent him down there to kill 5, he went, or 200, wherever Saul sent David. And I don't believe there's a lot of time elapsed here between that and the next few verses, but somehow David probably got sent some places he did not want to go. And by the way, in serving the Lord, there might be some places God sends you that you don't want to go, you see. Now, serving the Lord's not always a bowl of banana pudding. I want you to understand that. And these folk that preach that, you're doing great harm to the gospel. Sometimes, I don't believe Paul was just jumping up and down happy because he was in the Roman prison. I don't believe he was. Because Paul prayed in different epistles and said, if it's the Lord's will, he said, I'm going to be with you. Well, it wasn't the Lord's will. God never delivered him from that prison once he got in there. God may never deliver you from your circumstance. God may have you serve there the rest of your life. But if you're in the will of God, you've got the peace and the joy of God. As one fellow said the other day, don't wrestle with the will of God. Let God do what he will. Wait upon the Lord and let God do what he will. Now, in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 7, the Bible said, remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. It's talking about the preachers. Now, I say this to you. Now, the preacher has a certain amount of authority. In this day and hour, I think sometimes preachers do one of two things. I think they go overboard and exercise too much authority with their people. You're not their Lord and their dictator. They're not to call you and ask you, can they breathe, okay? But on the other hand, there are some preachers that don't take any authority and don't take any responsibility. And I want to say something, Pastor. When you're pastoring that church, it will ultimately come down to you. In the judgment seat, you will be judged. You will be judged, my friend, and stand in account for that church, you see. Now, but we're to obey them. I have no problem obeying those that are over me in the Lord. I've got no problem with that. Amen. As long as they're in the Bible and I'm in the Bible, I've got no problem with that. I never have and never will. Amen. No, sir. Now let me read you another verse, Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, let me just say that when you rebel against your pastor, that's going to be unprofitable for you in the day of judgment, okay? It's not going to be unprofitable for your pastor, but it's going to be unprofitable for you. I've pastored some people, and I've worried over them, and I said, man, I don't think they're heading down the right road. But listen, they're not my problem. At the end of the judgment, and when the judgment comes in the judgment seat, they're going to answer to God. They're not going to answer to me, you see, but the authority. But now David here went wherever Saul sent him. And I want to ask you, can you say I'm doing what God wants me to do? You know, in picking a church to go to today, we pick the church now where the fun is. Can I say to you that going to church is not supposed to be fun? Can I say to you, now, you ought to enjoy where you go to church, and you ought to have joy. But let me say this to you. We got so many kids programs and entertainment and all this mess. And brother, we ought to be majoring on, even on the kids, we ought to be majoring on the preaching. Notice I said preaching of the Word of God. Young kids, 8, 9, 10-year-old, they need preaching. And I'm going to leave that right there where it is. I'm going to let you understand what I'm saying there. But friend, We teach our young people now that life is just supposed to be fun. And we wonder why we've lost a generation of young people on Sunday morning. They're not there. If they come to church on Sunday morning, they'll come for preaching. That's it. No Sunday night, no Wednesday night. They don't come anymore. You know why? Because life has been taught that it's fun to them. The American people have been set up on fun, fun, fun. And brother, one of these days when the persecution arises and the fun's not there, you're going to see a great, great thing in our churches. You're going to see a great sorrow come upon people. Amen? But listen, what I'm saying to you is this. Sometimes when a mom and daddy picks a church, you should never pick a church based on the kids' activities. Never, never. You say, well, preacher, how do we pick a church? Pick one that's got a loving pastor that preaches salvation by grace, King James Bible, that's the scriptures. Pick one that's got separation, preaches a man ought to live holy and righteous. Pick one that believes in winning souls, evangelism, supporting missions, and got the Spirit of God there. And I'm not just talking about emotionalism, I'm talking about where God's really working, and you got a good church right there. Amen? Now, let me say this to you. Sometimes in the work of the Lord, things that God would have us do is not always fun to our flesh. Now, I'll give you an illustration. The Lord dealt me to preach, and I wanted to preach, and I announced my call to preach. And the preacher didn't mean a bit of harm. He didn't mean my pastor at that time. He did not mean any harm in what he said. So I'm not criticizing him. He listens to me on the radio. He's a good man. But on Wednesday night, I announced my call to preach. On Thursday night, we were on Thursday night soul winning visitation, and so he said to me, he said, now you announced your call to preach, and he said, that's good, and he said, now if you hadn't done that, I was thinking about, you know, putting you in as a deacon. Well, boy, let me tell you, now the devil used that right there, and the preacher didn't mean any harm by saying that, but I tell you, the devil used it, and the devil said, now look here, boy, he said, now you doing this preaching, man, you could have sat here and been a deacon, stayed at this same church all your life, never had to move around, and that wasn't what God wanted me to do, you see, and at that time, that deacon's job looked better than that preaching job, you see. But let me say this to you. God, since I'm on some radio stations, I've never got a bit of response out of them. Now, I do not gauge whether I stay on a radio station altogether by response or not. Now, I get concerned if I don't get response from one, but I'm going to say this to you. If God says stay on it no matter what, then you stay on that station. You go where God sends you. David here, he was promoted now. He had killed Goliath. He was a national hero. But yet, you know what he did? He went whithersoever Saul sent him. He was under authority. Amen? I want to say to you assistant pastors and you youth pastors and all these, we got all kind of pastors. Now, your job is to be under the authority of the pastor of the church, all right? And this undercutting and backbiting and going behind the man's back and doing things, I'll just tell you, I got no need for it. It needs to be preached against. It's wrong. It is absolutely wrong to cut a preacher to try to get his job. Amen. That's wrong, friend. And I tell you, it's being done all over America, and nobody's saying anything about it. But I'll say something about it today. Amen. I'll say something about it. You ought to go whithersoever God sends you. Amen. If God sends you over there, preacher, to that little old church running 20, you say, preacher, I'm not going to take a church running 20 people. I'm just not going to do that because I'd have to go back to work. Well, there's nothing wrong with you working. Make a living. Amen. Every preacher can't be full-time in the ministry. Paul worked. Amen. He sure did. And there's nothing wrong with that. If God puts you over there at that church, I'd rather pastor 20 people and be in the will of God. Now, wait a minute. I'm for people getting saved. But I'd rather start out with 20 people and be in the will of God than to pastor 500 and be out of the will of God. Now, let's reverse that. If God told me to go pastor a church of 500, then he'd really have to give me some wisdom because I sure ain't smart enough to pastor a crowd like that. But if God told me to pastor 500 And there's another church offered it to me for $20, and it wasn't the will of God, I'd take the $500. Amen. You take it where God's will is. In other words, David was on assignment. That Saul was the king. Saul was the supreme authority. And so David went wherever Saul sent him. All right, now, that's the way you ought to do it in your life. You ought to go. I just ask you this before we move on. Amen. In your life, are you willing to go where God sends you? You say, well, preacher, I, if God called my husband here and yonder, ain't no way in the world I could ever follow him. Well, you won't never be. You'll never be right. Amen. You know what our authority is, by the way? Do you know what our authority is? Our authority is the King James Bible. Did you know that? You say, preacher, I don't know how to live. Well, let me tell you what your authority today is. If you want to know what God wants you to do, get in the Bible. The King James Bible is your authority. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible said, Jesus answered Satan here, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the 66 books of the Bible. That's these books of the King, that's these words with an S on the end of them of the King James Bible that some of y'all go around saying the translators made a mistake. I don't think translators made any mistakes. I don't preach that. I preach that every word in the King James Bible is perfect. Amen. If you don't preach that, you don't have a Bible, okay? I'm not going to argue with you about that. But the Bible's my authority. For 46 years, the Bible's been my authority. Really, when the men came in 1975 and won my mama to the Lord Jesus Christ, we started going to church and the Bible became our authority in our home. And it got passed down to me and I got saved. And I've got the first Bible ever tucked to church and I've got Bibles. And the other day I had a Bible out and I was reading it and looking at it and it was all marked. I'd marked in it in my young days when I could see real good. And I got to reading in the front of it. You know what it was? It's my ordination Bible. I didn't even realize that's what it was. And I found my ordination Bible, amen, years and years and years ago where I was ordained into the ministry. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible all these years has been my authority. I just want to do what it says do and not do what it says not do. Amen. You know what? You can get intellectually smart and be dumb as a stick. Did you know that? You can have all your doctrines in place and all your dispensations in place, and you can still be dumb and not know God's Word. Listen, let me tell you something. That may be okay, but I tell you what, you need to beg for the wisdom and the understanding of God Almighty. And let God help you. Amen. Here's David. Now, he went with it, but David's authority, by the way, David's authority was the Word of God. Now, there are some instances I've already said during this series of messages that David did not obey the Bible. There are some instances that David did not obey the Bible. And by the way, every time he didn't obey the Bible, he got into trouble. He sure did. But when he obeyed the Bible, it worked out just fine. Amen. I mean, David was a man that believed in the law. Amen. The words of God. David wrote much of the Bible, wrote many of the Psalms. So that, now, let me say this to you. And I said something about the government a while ago, so I've got a verse here I want to read you. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Do you know that we're still under the authority of the United States government? Our police officers, I'm just going to stop and say this. I believe I can say I'm going to work it in right here. It is a shame and an embarrassment the way the United States is treating police officers today. I just want you to know that. Every officer that is listening to the sound of my voice, I want you to know that you are God's servant. And I respect you. I have no trouble with the law whatsoever. I have no trouble with the FBI. I have no trouble with the CIA. I have no trouble with the Sheriff's Department. Matter of fact, I pray for the Sheriff's Departments in our area. I really do. And these men and women jeopardize their lives every time they get in a car. And you should never allow your young people to call policemen names and say ungodly things. It's not the police that's the problem. It's the wickedness that's in America. People want to live in their sin. Amen. When the policeman throws the light on them and chase, you know why people run from the police? Their wickedness. Amen. They want to get away with it. You know, you're not going to get away with it, friend. Amen. But there is authority in the government. Let me just read to you from Romans 13, verse number 1. The Bible said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, David was already anointed king. And David knew by God's grace one day he would be king. And Jonathan knew he would be king. But you know what David did? He submitted himself to the higher power. He sure did. He said, wait a minute, now I'm not king yet. Amen. Now, young man, you may be sitting there and maybe the pastor has told you, I'm going to turn this church over to you one day. Okay, that's one day, but today's not the day. You're not the pastor yet, so you need to keep that in mind. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, all right? For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I just want you to know that. I want you to realize, and I've said this on another message somewhere, but every leader of every country, God's got his hand on it. I want you to know. Now, the devil claimed he had that power, but I don't believe the devil's got that power today. I believe that God overrules the devil, and I believe God sets up who he wants to set up on high. And now, some of you have never got over some things that happened in our country a few years ago. But let me tell you, God put in authority who he wanted to put in authority. So you need to lay aside your jokes. You need to lay aside your opinions and get in the Bible and see what God says. Our country would be better off if we approached everything from the Bible. So David went whithersoever Saul sent him. Now notice again, 1 Samuel 18 and verse number 5. All right, let's see here. Let me back up here. I want to read some more of that verse, and apparently I flipped too many pages here. All right, so let's read here in 1 Samuel. Let's see, 1 Samuel, yeah, verse number 5. All right, in the middle part of that verse, the Bible says, and behaved himself wisely. That's the title of our message right there. Not only did David go where Saul sent him, but David behaved himself wisely. Now, here's what David knew. David knew that God had already anointed him king. And David knew that he wasn't king yet. And he knew that the providence of God had got him to the palace now, but he better be wise about it. He better not go in and tell Saul, hey, I just want you to know Samuel's anointed me king, and you're not going to be king forever. Well, I tell you right now, David would never made it to the throne either if he'd had that attitude. But David behaved himself wisely. You know, you and I, as born-again believers, ought to behave ourselves wisely. Now, I'm like Paul, when I would do good, evil is present with me. I mean, this old flesh, I just can't get it in gear sometimes to do right. Can you? I mean, I want to do right. I really do. I want to do right. But boy, sometimes I'm my old flesh, I just cannot get it to do right. Can you get your flesh to do right sometimes? I mean, it's just against God, and it just goes, you know. And boy, the more you try to do, the more you try to read your Bible, something come up, and you know, you're not reading like you should. Amen. Or you're not praying like you should, you know. And boy, you set out to do good. You say, man, I'm going to pray today. I'm going to pray an hour today. Well, something comes up, and you don't get to pray that hour. I'm going to read so much in my Bible. And by the way, when you fail one day, just go the next day. Get up and go again. Don't quit. Don't say, well, I failed yesterday. No, sir. Behave yourself wisely. Amen. We need some men and women, boys and girls and Christians to behave themselves wisely in this hour. That's what David did. He behaved himself wisely. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5, you'll find that phrase, behaved himself wisely. You'll find it again in verse 14. We'll read it again as we get down there. And also in verses 15, the Bible said he behaved himself very wisely. And in verse 30, it said more wisely. So David behaved himself wisely. Amen. And by the way, again, we're talking about a young boy, 19-year-old. We're talking about a young man that loved God. By the way, you young people, and this again, you young people can do something for God. At 18-year-old, you don't have to be dumb if you don't want to be. You say, well, they're just too young to serve the Lord. No, they're not. David served the Lord at 18-year-old, and God came to him and anointed him king. Can I tell you that Mary in the Bible probably wasn't 20-year-old when Jesus came to her, when the angel of the Lord came to her and told her she was going to have the baby Jesus? Can I tell you, young people can still serve the Lord, but they're going to have to get under the preaching. You young people, I'm preaching to you. You're going to have to get dedicated to God. It's more than a job. It's more than a career. It's more than having fun. It's more than having hobbies. You young boys, it's more than riding boats and four-wheelers and shooting guns. Are you going to have to get serious with God? Amen. You go out to the youth group and you say, boy, I'm serious. I'm in there for God, but all you study is some sporting event. Well, you're never going to get with God being all that sports. You know, if you'd rather get to the football league than you would to serve the Lord, one of my preacher friends, he said, my football career ended when I got knocked down. And he said, I surrendered to the Lord to preach while I was laying on the football field hurt. Friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, December the 6th, and Sunday, December 7th. I certainly appreciate you for listening. I want to remind you about our website, gbiradio.org. You can listen there also. If you want today's message, just put today's date on there. We'll send it to you free of charge. It's R453-30. Lord willing, we'll continue this message next week. I hope you'll tell a friend and neighbor about our broadcast. And until next week at the same time, may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.